नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। We have been discussing, actually we completed discussing the ninth chapter on the last session of 2023. So half of Bhagavad Gita, the first nine chapters we completed on the last session of 2023. So we are starting 2024 with the second half of Bhagavad Gita from the 10th chapter onwards. I will do a quick recap of what we saw in the last section of the 9th chapter. We did discuss about the glories of devotional service, where Krishna started by indicating that in comparison to the demigod worship and other kind of karmakandi activities, which are quite intense in their sense of purity and the objects involved, perfect pronunciation of the mantras and so many different, Advaryu and Brahma and, so many different types of priests and sacrificial arena, sacrificial paraphernalia and all those things. In comparison to that, worshipping Krishna is so easy. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatatmanah. So he says that it's so easy to worship Krishna. As long as one has the devotion, one can easily please Krishna with patram pushpam phalam artoyam. Right? And then he says that, then he tells Arjuna that, Arjuna, currently you are neither qualified for practicing pure devotional service, nor are you qualified for performing sakama kind of worship. So you are definitely qualified for some nishkama worship, but at the same time not yet for pure devotional service. Therefore he says, yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. So he talks about the practice of karma Jnana Mishra Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. Okay. And then what is the result of such a Karma Jnana Mishra Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti? He says, Shubha Shubha Falai Revam Mokshase Karma Bandhanehi Sanyasa Yoga Yuktatma Vimukto Mam Upaishyasi. So in this way, by this practice of Karma Jnana Mishra Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, you will become free from the bondage of Karma Bandhan, with its pious and impious reactions, and in this way, being renounced, you will become liberated and you will attain me. But then someone may say, Krishna, you are giving liberation to those who worship you, but you are binding people to this material world if they do not worship you. Is this not prejudice on your part? Krishna says, look, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyah. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. I am equal to all living beings. I do not hate anyone and I do not favor anyone. But if someone worships me with a desire to attain me, then I reciprocate accordingly, because I said, ye yatamam prapadyante tam stateva bhajamyaham. So in proportion to the surrender of devotees to that extent, I reciprocate also. So my response to my devotees, you cannot exactly call it favoritism in one sense, because it is reciprocity. Just like I allow the worshippers of the demigods to go to their abodes, and if the demigods themselves are not eternal beings, and if their abodes themselves are not eternal, how can I give eternal residence to those worshippers in those abodes? It makes no sense. And if someone worships me, they come to my abode. But I am eternal, my abode is eternal. What can I do? So therefore they attain liberation from this material world. But the personalities whom they are worshipping, they themselves are residents of this material world. So how can someone criticize me for not giving them, a place beyond this material world? Okay. And another understanding is, ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham, is actually very natural for anyone. As we saw, even the most charitably disposed person would naturally leave a bigger inheritance for his own children, and he cannot be criticized for that. It is natural. If he is charitably disposed towards the whole world, would he not be lit? Is it, can he be criticized for being a little bit more affectionately disposed towards his own children? Is he fit to be criticized? No. The devotees want Krishna to be their father, mother, son, lover, friend. So even the most charitably disposed person would definitely be a little bit more affectionately disposed towards his own people. Is that a black spot? No. It is an ornament. It is natural. And no one can criticize him for that. And this affection of Krishna's devotee, Krishna towards his devotees, is presented in a very extreme way by Krishna in this verse, where he says, apichet su duracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhu revasa mantavya samyak bhavasito hi sahar. Even if such a person is most sinfully disposed because of his past conditioning, but if he worships me, and he worships me and me alone and no one else, and if he does not mix that worship with karma, jnana, yoga, etc., then I consider him to be my devotee. But someone may say, but how could you accept his offerings, which are filled with mood of lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, pride, etc.? How can you accept such a person's offering? Krishna says, look, Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvat Shantim Nigachati Kaunteya Pratijanihi Namai Bhakta Pranashyati. Very soon he will become righteous. I take responsibility for that. Very soon he will become completely free of contamination. O Arjuna, you may go and declare boldly by that my devotees shall never perish. Namai Bhakta Pranashyati. And then he says, not only that, not only those who may have accidental faults, but even those who have faults right from their births because of consistent misuse of their free will in their previous lives. Mam hi partha vipashitya epistyu papa yonayah triyo vaishya stata shudras tepi anti paramgatim. Even them, triyo vaishya stata shudras. All of them become purified by surrendering to Krishna. He says that it doesn't really matter. Whatever may be your material situation, of which may be considered from a material point of view advantages or disadvantages, it doesn't really matter. One can attain perfection. I accept them. That's what Krishna says. And in this context, we did discuss a little elaborately the other day, that look where Krishna is focusing and look where we end up focusing. Krishna is telling, I am willing to accept everyone, irrespective of their material qualification or disqualification. And then we focus where we think, how could Krishna call the woman materially unqualified? But what is Krishna telling? Krishna is telling that it doesn't matter whether you are qualified or not. I will accept you. Then he said, no, 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 no. I don't care whether you accept me or not. But I am more focused on how could you call me materially unqualified. What's the problem? You know, whether you are materially qualified or unqualified, whatever it is because of your own karma, right? You only did it, whatever you chose. Whatever you chose, that's what you got. As you sow, so shall you reap. Whether it is materially acceptable or not, that is a different thing. But what is Krishna telling here? I am willing to accept you. That is the point. Triyo Vaishyas Tatha Shudra Tepi Anti Param Gatim. And then he says, Kim Punar Brahmana Punya Bhakta Rajarshayas Tatha Anityam Ashukam Lokam Imam Prapya Bhajaswamam. What then to speak of devotees who are pure Brahmanas or kings? Therefore, having come into this impermanent world of distress, just worship me. And finally, he ends this chapter by telling, Manmana, Bhava Madbhakto, Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, Mame Vaishyasi Yukvaivam, Atmanam Matparayanaha. Therefore, O Arjuna, what is the kind of worship? Imam Prapya Bhajaswamam, he says, right? So, having attained this birth in this impermanent world, which is full of miseries, Anityam Asukam Lokam. That is the nature of this material world. Okay. However sincere we may be endeavoring on the path of devotional service, but still, if you are in this material world, the nature of the material world will not change. It is temporary and it is filled with distress. So, that will definitely, we can't escape it. That is the nature. Anityam asukam lokam. So Krishna says, look, don't focus on that. Imam prapya bhajasva mam. Just focus on worshipping me. So the joy is in worship. And through worship, establishing a relationship with Krishna. That is where the joy is. But if giving that up, if we keep searching for joy in this material world, we will not get, because by definition it is asukam lokam. So therefore Krishna says, imam prapya bhajasvamam. So how does one perform that bhajan? Manmana, please concentrate your mind on me. Bhava madbhakto, please be my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer your respects to me. Evam Atmanam Yuktva. In this way, Atma refers here to both body and mind. In this way, if you absorb your body and mind in me, Mat Parayanaha, surrendering to me, Mame Vaishyasi, you will come to me. So, whatever distress that we may have in this material world, that is the nature of the material world. That is the nature of the place that we live, that is the nature of relationships that we may have. So, we can't become discouraged by that. Because the real joy is in bhajasvamam, in worshipping Krishna. And how do we worship? Concentrate your mind on Krishna. Manmana. Bhava madbhakto, be my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer your respects to me. Evam atmanam yuktva. In this way, if you engage your body and mind in me and become surrendered to me, surrendering to Krishna means engaging the body and mind in Krishna. In this way, Krishna says you will attain me. And if we attain Krishna, then there is only joy. So therefore, whatever may be the cause of our disappointments in this material world, if we take solace from Krishna's, you can say, promise, that if we diligently try to engage our mind and body in Krishna's service, we will come back to Krishna. So that is where That is what we will have to hold on to. Anything else can cause disappointments in this material world. That is the nature of the material world. Misunderstandings, everything will be there. But Krishna's promise is our hope. Otherwise, in this material world, you know, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, what is our capacity to hold on to promise, you know, as sadhakas? That is the nature, right? Niyamakshama, niyama akshama, that is the nature of Anishtita Bhajana Kriya. You set a target for you, you set a vow, I will do this. You may do it for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, fourth day you cannot do. That is the nature. Nature of the material world, and as long as we are in the stage of Anishtita Bhajana Kriya. So therefore, there is ample reason to get disappointed, either due to our own inability to keep up our promises or vows, or our disappointments with other people's inability to keep up their promises or vows. But Krishna keeps up his vow. Krishna says, Mame Vaishyasi, you will come back to me. Therefore, that promise of Krishna is our hope and reason to be joyful, because Krishna has promised. So from my side, Manmana, Bhava Madbhakto, Madhyaji, Mam Namaskuru, Mame Vaishyasi Yuktaivam Atmanam Matparayanam. In this way, if we engage our body and mind in surrendering to Krishna, we will definitely come back to Krishna. So this is where Krishna ended the 9th chapter, and we completed 9th chapter last Friday, on the last Friday of 2023. Now on the very first Friday of 2024, Krishna willing, we are going to start the 10th chapter. Because nothing is in our hands. Because we still have not started 10th chapter. Only if Krishna's desire is there, even a blade of grass can move. Even though you may say still we have about maybe more than 1.5 hours left. But who knows? Krishna's desire only shall prevail. So Krishna willing, we will start the 10th chapter. But now before we start the 10th chapter, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, you can please go ahead based on whatever we discussed last week or whatever we have summarized today. If there is any quick discussion points, we will take. If not, we will move ahead to the 10th chapter. Anything anyone would like to share as add, you can either raise your hands or type your questions in the chat box, whatever you may feel comfortable. Okay. Thank you. If there is none, then we will start the 10th chapter now. As of now, it looks like Krishna's desire is there. Krishna willing. Whether it looks like Krishna is willing. Maybe. Let's see. Okay. Are you able to see the screen? Is the screen visible? Okay. So, the 10th chapter is titled as The Opulence of the Absolute, Vibhuti Yoga. That is the 10th chapter. But we do not immediately start with the Vibhuti Yoga. There is a very important section before we get to that Vibhuti Yoga. So, Krishna starts the last verse that he spoke. See, actually, one thing we should see is that it is Vyasadeva who has divided this Bhagavad Gita into particular chapters. It is not that in the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, at some point Krishna said, okay, Arjuna, now the 9th chapter is over. Now let's start the 10th chapter. No. Atha dashamo dhyayaha. Like that, Krishna does not say. So, it's one coherent conversation that is happening between Krishna and Arjuna. And Vyasadeva actually sensing a change of theme, he has actually divided it into 18 chapters. Okay. Otherwise, it is one coherent conversation that is happening between Krishna and Arjuna. Okay. So, Krishna glorified the characteristics of pure devotional service in the last section of ninth chapter, ending with Mam hi partha vipashritya episyu papayonayah triyo vaishya stata shudras tepiyanti param gatim kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayas tata anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajaswamam manmana bhavam bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yukvaivam atmanam mat parayana. So in this way he says that it doesn't matter what may be your material qualification or disqualification. If you surrender unto me, then definitely you can come back to me. So all that matters is worshipping me, and my worship can happen by Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. And in this way, Evam Atmanam Yuktva. In this way, if you utilize your mind and body in my service and surrender unto me, then certainly you can come back to me. This is how Krishna ended. Okay, this is how Krishna ended the chapter. Okay, there are some comments, questions in the chat box already. So, Manmana Bhava has been spoken twice in Bhagavad Gita. That shows its importance. Yes, definitely. What is the secret to engaging mind on Krishna's lotus feet? Is it only possible by the mercy of the Guru? Yeah, without mercy of the Guru, nothing is possible. Yeah, he started with 7.1 and confirming it in Manmanabhava Manbhakto. Yes, that is true. So now, in this 10th chapter, Krishna, after ending the 9th chapter with Manmanabhava Manbhakto, he says, भूयएव महाबाहो शृणु मे परमं वचः यत्तेहं प्रीयमानाय वक्ष्यामि हितकाम्यया. सो ही सेज भूय एव अगेन ओ महाबाहो ओ माइटी आर्म्ड अर्जुन शृणु मे परमं वचः प्लीज हियर माय सुप्रीम टीचिंग्स यत्ते अहम् वक्ष्यामि दैट विच आई विल speak to you. So yatte aham vakshyami. Why will I speak to you? Priyamanaya. Because you are now qualified with prema. Hita kamyaya. Because I desire to give you benefit. Okay. I see you. See, I am going to please hear again. So he uses the word bhuyaha here. Why he uses the word bhuyaha has to be seen. So again, shrunume paramam vachah. Again, hear my supreme teachings. Okay. Okay. Which I will speak to you. I will speak to you. Why? Because you are qualified with prema. That is one reason. And the second reason is, I wish to give you some benefit. For that purpose, I will speak this to you again. Okay. So, he says, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur commenting here, he says that just give me one second. Okay, he says, starting from the seventh chapter, after revealing his powers, Krishna spoke of bhakti. Starting from the seventh chapter, after revealing his powers, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshovastitah nachamatstani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram bhutabrin nachabhutasto mamatma bhutabhavana. Of course, this was in the ninth chapter. Okay, in the seventh chapter, he spoke about Bhumi Rapo Analo Vayu Kammano Buddhi Revacha Ahankara Iti Yamme Binna Pagati Rashtada अपरेयम् इतस्तु अन्यां प्रकृतिं विद्धि मे पराम् जीवभूतां महाबाहो ये इदं धार्यते जगत् एतद्योनीनि भूतानि मत्तानीति उपधारय अहं कृष्णस्य जगतः प्रभव प्रलयस्तदा. लाइक दैट कृष्ण स्पोक अबाउट हिज पवर्स. नाउ इन दि 10th चैप्टर ही स्पीक्स ऑफ द कॉन्फिडेंशियल एलिमेंट्स ऑफ भक्ति दैट इज द फर्स्ट पार्ट अलॉन्ग विद द डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ हिज विभूतिस दैट इज द सेकेंड पार्ट. By knowing the powers of the Lord, one understands that the Lord is worthy of worship. That is why hearing about the Lord's powers is very important and critical, at least for in the early stages of bhakti. Understanding and accepting, appreciating Krishna's Aishwarya is very critical in the beginning stages of one's bhakti. Okay. Because by understanding it, one understands and appreciates that the Lord is worthy of worship. Okay. These powers have been described starting from the 7th chapter. Now the Lord will explain the powers in detail for the pleasure of those who have devotion. Okay. So, whom are these powers meant for? These are meant for devotees. Because when the devotees hear the powers of their master, it naturally gives them joy. Whereas non-devotees, when they hear, they will become envious or they will not trust, they will not believe. Okay. So he says, according to the rule that the rishis speak indirectly and the Lord is fond of such indirect statements, and thus, because this knowledge is somewhat difficult to comprehend, the Lord speaks again. Okay. According to the rule that the rishis speak indirectly and the Lord is fond of such indirect statements, and thus, because this knowledge is somewhat difficult to comprehend, the Lord speaks again. So why does he say Bhuyaha? Bhuyaha, I am speaking again, because this knowledge is difficult to comprehend. That is why he is going to speak again. That is why he uses the word Bhuyaha. So parokshavada rishayaha paroksham cha mama priyam, Krishna says. The Vedic seers and the mantras deal in esoteric terms, and I also am pleased by such confidential descriptions. Okay. Again, hear my words, Bhuyaha. This means again I will speak about the king of knowledge, the king of secrets. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram Idam Uttamam. So again here refers to, I am again going to speak about that knowledge which still definitely falls within the category of Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, the most confidential knowledge. O mighty armed one, you display your supreme power of your arms. This power is greater than that of all others. In the same way, you should display the supreme power of your intelligence in this topic. Listen to the words as I speak. Just like you might have mighty arms, I am sure you must be having mighty intelligence also. Through your mighty arms, you might be able to do glorious things. Let me see if you have mighty enough intelligence to understand this glorious knowledge. That is what Krishna is indicating here by addressing Krishna as Mahabaho Shruno. Just here. This implies that Arjuna should limit his attention to what is spoken, even though he is already listening. Arjuna is already listening. Now why is he telling Shruno again? Because he's telling, now what I am going to tell is very important, so limit your attention to this. These words are even superior to what I have spoken previously. Paramam Vachah. Because he is going to speak the Chatushloki Gita. Look what a coincidence. Around the same time when we are discussing Chatushloki Bhagavatam in the morning sessions, in the evening sessions we are discussing Chatushloki Gita. Chatushloki Gita is going to start now very soon. I speak these words to you in order to cause you astonishment. So, like that. he's telling here. Okay, so he says the use of dative case with the verb vakshyami indicates a suppressed infinitive of purpose by the rule kriyartopapadasya cha ashtadhyayi panini. This is some grammar rule. I don't understand this. Anyways, so the reason for speaking to Arjuna is then given. I will speak to you because you are filled with prema. Priyamanaya. Like that. So, that's what he says here. Bhuya eva mahabaho shrunume paramam vachah yatteham priyamanaya vakshami hitakanyaya. Again, hear my supreme teachings which I will speak to you who are qualified with prema because I desire to give you benefit. Okay, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, as add. There's already something in the chat box. I will take that first. So, did Vyasadeva divide Bhagavad Gita chapters based on emotions in Arjuna's mind? Maybe that could be a factor. I do not know. Maybe he sees the change in themes, the change in probably even emotions. I don't know. Probably. Okay, next question. Can't we say Bhagavad Gita being Smriti, it is also Shabda Praman? Of course, Smriti, Shruti, all of them are Shabda Praman only. Yeah, of course. Why not? Yeah. Next question. Whose mercy did Avanti Brahmana get that he could able to do this? Do what? Actually, surrender, right? Is it his experience towards the world which led him to absorption? And is it possible to us? No. Is it possible that actually Bhagavatam itself does not explicitly say how suddenly the Avanti Brahmana, just by experience of some very distressful situations in his life, suddenly takes up to surrender to Krishna? Aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangri nishevayaiva. Now, how is it? Actually, where is the intervention of a devotee in the Avanti Brahmana's life? This question arises. So, this is a very valid question. Let us see what the acharyas say about this. Actually, recently someone had asked this very same question to me. I had searched for it and I got some response to this. Let me try to see if I can find that. Give me just 1 second. I am just trying to find it. I think I got it. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, this is 11:23:57, commentary by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, 11:23:57. Let me go there. 11:23:57, 11:23:57. Okay. Oh, it is the exact purport of the verse. That famous verse, Aham Tarishyami Durantaparam Tamo Mukundangri Nishevayaiva. See, what is the explanation given by our acharyas? So great. You know, whatever possible questions we might get, our acharyas are very, you know, someone says, maybe Kripa Siddha. Let's see. Why? Are you not able to see the screen? Are you not able to see the screen? Okay. So, our acharyas are very powerful. You see, they know that we might get this question. So, that's why we should always have. Okay, any question we have, the answer is there. We don't have to speculate. No need to speculate. Directly go. This is that verse. Etam sa astaya paratma nishtam adhyasitam purvatamair maharshibihi. अहं तरिष्यामि दुरंतपारं तमो मुकुंदांग्रि निषेवयैव. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nescience by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How did he come to this situation, to this conclusion? In narrating the story of this Avanti Brahmana, it is mentioned that he was a very materially absorbed person and he experiences some unfavorable, unpleasant material experiences, and suddenly he becomes like this. So now, how did he become like this? Did he become a devotee by merely experiencing distressing material situations? Is that how this question arises? So, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur, commenting on this, he says, pure bhakti previously existing but stopped by obstacles appeared in his mind. So, which means in his past lifetime or somewhere, he had already practiced bhakti and achieved and reached a particular situation. So now in this life, to restart that bhakti, some uddipan was needed. And those material situations acted as the trigger, acted as the uddipan, and all those obstacles which are blocking his continuation of bhakti in that particular life, they were removed. Since that has appeared, he rejects thoughts of renunciation and methods of tolerating the dualities. Submerging himself in the sweet ocean of service to the Lord's lotus feet, he dances with great boldness. Fixed in the swarupa of the jiva, which is purified of its identification with the body, and slightly fixed in Paramatma, I will cross over samsara by service alone. Okay, like that. So, which means this Avanti Brahmana had actually previously practiced bhakti. That is reality. Okay. He had actually previously practiced bhakti. And that was stopped due to some obstacles in this life. Certain situations triggered his past practice and removed the obstacles. And in this way, he took up to practice of pure devotional service. So that is the understanding. Okay. That is the story of Avanti Brahmana. So, there are, okay, more questions. In ISKCON, we are not easily accessible to our guru. For example, okay, I don't know what is the purpose of this question. Where is it? What is it connected? Okay, we don't have access to our guru. So, I don't know what is the question. Yes, we may not have access to our guru, but what is the question? I don't understand. Anyways. Oh, mercy. Mercy comes through. See, guru may not be there, but in today's day and age, guru's vani is available. The guru's vani is available. You know, you can hear so much ISKCON Desire Tree and YouTube, and it is filled with so much of their lectures. So in their lectures, they pour out their heart. This is what they want their disciples to do. So where is the question of not having personal association? See, personal association is a double-edged sword, you know. So it may be good, it may not be good. You know, if you are not qualified to, if you are not qualified to actually, you know, practice, take the association properly, it may lead to offensive mentality also. So therefore, it is always safe. Not that vapu is, when it is available, we take it. But vani is very safe because there is no scope of misunderstanding and familiarity breeding contempt. So if we are not properly attached to Guru's vani, if Guru's personal association is too much available, we may not take that association in the proper mood actually. So that's very important. Anyways, Okay, I have heard Gita is not exactly 700 verses. You mentioned the Lord spoke Gita to Arjuna without mentioning the chapters. Yeah, there is no mention of, okay, I am completing this chapter here and starting the next chapter like that. In some places, it is mentioned 745 verses. Of course, in ISKCON, we follow Srila Prabhupada and his translation, 700 verses and 18 chapters. Yeah, I am not aware of the 745 verse version. 700 verses is what I know. So, is there 745 verses? Maybe someone says, I have no idea. I have not heard, but I understand 700 verses, that much I know. That is actually given. That is the only thing that I know. Okay. One more point. As King Rahuguna says, I offer obeisances to every devotee who may be child, old person or anyone. As in the case of Avanti Brahmana, so to be very careful of not offending anyone. Yeah, that is true. Okay, next question. What is the meaning of Arjuna, you are qualified for Prema? Which means at this stage of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is qualified with Prema. That is what it means. Okay. I think there was one hand up, is Kesha Prema.
Prabhuji, interestingly, today only I was rehearing our 7.1 shloka, Prabhuji. Like, almost the same, the every chapter, Krishna is Tashtruno, Tashtruno. Krishna is starting like that, Prabhuji. Today also, it was starting like that. And in 7.1, in that purport, we are discussing about Jnana and Vijnana, Prabhuji. Like, in that, Jnana means knowing the Krishna's greatness and Vijnana is sweetness. So here, I just want to know, is it like turning from, is it about just greatness, or since you said Arjuna is eligible for Prema, so it is about his sweetness is also is going to express here, Prabhuji?
In this chapter, sweetness will be expressed in terms of some principles. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, sweetness is expressed through certain qualities. Of course, there are sweet pastimes also. Bhagavad Gita, there is no presentation of pastimes. But definitely sweetness in the form of his qualities are there. That is more described in the 9th chapter. But 10th chapter, yeah, some qualities are there of Krishna which are sweet, but mostly the second half talks about the vibhutis, especially the material vibhutis only. And even understanding and appreciating that puts the sweetness part in the right perspective. So if a very great person is trying to be very sweet to us, then it is all the more attractive. Because ordinary people may be sweet, it is not so great. But if a very great person, exalted person, if he is trying to be very sweet to us, then it is all the more a cause of joy. So in that sense, hearing this about the vibhutis of the Supreme Lord actually enhances our appreciation of his sweetness.
Okay, because he is telling in 7.2, both Jnana and Vijnana, and if you hear this, there is nothing left for you to hear. I am giving everything in this. In the 6th chapter, is going to give everything. No, Prabhuji.
He says, now I am going to speak. He says, now I am going to speak.
Yeah, Prabhuji. Like, I just want to know, like, from 7 to 12, he is going to give everything in that. No, Prabhuji, we should understand like that.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Bhakti Yoga.
Yes.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. So, if there are no further discussion points, let us move on. So, Krishna says, Bhuyaeva Mahabaho Shrunume Paramam Vachaha Yatteham Priyamanaya Bhakshami Hitakamyaya. Again, O Arjuna, please hear my supreme teachings, which I will speak to you because you are qualified with Prema, because I desire to give you benefit. Okay. Then Krishna says, Name vidussuraganah prabhavam namaharshayah aham adirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvashah. Suraganah maharshayah, the suraganah, the devatas, maharshayah, the great rishis, na viduhu, they do not know me prabhavam, birth, prabhavam, prakrishta rupena bhavam, very special form of birth. Ajopisan, avyayatma, bhutanam, ishwaropisan. Prakritim swam adishtaya sambhavami atmamayaya. So Krishna's appearance is not like the appearance of ordinary living entities. Prabhavam, extraordinary birth. So it is not caused due to karma. Krishna's birth is appearance by his own choice. He is not forced to appear due to his karma. So the devatas and the great rishis do not know about my extraordinary birth. Why? Aham adirhi devanam. Because I am the source of the devatas, maharshinam cha sarvashah, and the great rishis. I am the source of the great devatas and the rishis, and they don't know me. So which means so what Krishna is telling here, even the great sages do not know about Krishna. Is that true? So the point is, by their being sages or devatas, that does not automatically qualify them to know Krishna. That is what Krishna means here. They may be great sages, but because they are also emanating from me, I am the source of them, only to the extent that I allow them to know, they can know. Just by being devatas and great rishis, they may not know. And it's not that someone like Mrigari, because he's a fallen hunter, he can never know. The point is, your birth does not matter. If I desire that you know, then to the extent that I allow you to know, to that extent you can know. That is what Krishna is indicating here. Name vidu suragana prabhavam na maharshayah aham adirhi devana maharshinam cha sarvashah. I am the source. I am their source. Meaning, if I have created them, then if I want, they can know. If I don't want, they cannot know. So just by being Maharishis or Devatas, in itself does not automatically qualify them to know me. It is just my mercy that is the cause of knowing Krishna. So Krishna says, so Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur commenting on this, he says, my appearance can be known only by my unprecedented mercy and by no other means. The devatas do not know my most extraordinary birth from Devaki. It's not that no devatas know. If those devatas have managed to attract Krishna's mercy, then by that mercy they can know. Just by their being devatas, they cannot know Krishna. Someone may say, well, the devatas may not know because they are absorbed in material pleasure, but the sages must know. Krishna says, no, they also do not know. The Lord explains the reason why they do not know. Why the devatas and maharishis do not know? Because I am the cause of all of them in all ways. They do not know about my birth, just as sons cannot know about the birth of the father. I am their source. The sons cannot know. But if the father tells, reveals it to the son, then by the mercy of the father, the son can know. Otherwise, the sons cannot know. So one should not think of another meaning of the word prabhavam. Prabhavam also means prowess. Because in verse 14, Arjuna says in confirmation of that meaning that neither the demons nor the devas know about the appearance of the Lord. Nahi te bhagavan vyaktim vidur devana danavaha. Vyakti here means appearance. So prabhava also means power or prowess. So he says, in this context, the word prabhavam should be taken as birth and not prowess. And because This is confirmed by Arjuna in the 14th verse. Like that, he says. So just by there being, so no one, because ultimately being Maharshi or Devatas, you know, that is all birth due to some kind of piety, etc. It may be due to devotion also. But if Krishna wants, they can know Krishna. And to the extent that Krishna wants, to that extent they can know Krishna. Otherwise, by their being devatas or rishis, no one can claim prerogative of knowing Krishna. No one is entitled based on their material qualification to know Krishna. The only cause of knowing Krishna is Krishna's mercy. If Krishna's mercy is there, one can know Krishna. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo na medaya na bahuna shrutena. Yameva isha brunute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vibrunute tanum swam. That is the principle. To the extent the Lord allows, only to that extent one can know. It is only Krishna's mercy. Prabhavaha, that's what we saw, right? Prabhavaha means extraordinary birth. That is the meaning of Prabhavaha. Another meaning of Prabhava is power. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions? Okay. If there is none, let us continue our discussion. Yomamajamanadimcha vetilokamaheshwaram asammoodasamartyeshu sarvapapai pramuchyate. Yaha, that person, asammoodaha, without bewilderment, veti. He who, without bewilderment, knows ajam, that I am unborn, anadim, since I have no beginning. Ajam anadimcha. And also I am born. Yomam ajam anadim cha. So here cha should come here actually. Okay. And this aja and anadim should not come here. Yomam ajam anadim cha. One who knows that I am unborn and have no beginning, but I am also born from Devaki. Okay. And veti, one who also knows that I am Lokamaheshwaram. I am the Lord of all planets. Saha, that person, Martyeshu Sarva Papai Pramuchyate. He is freed from all sins in this world. Martyeshu means in this Martyaloka, in this world. And performs bhakti without impediments. Okay, he performs bhakti without any impediments. That's what, right? So, one who is freed of all sins, he performs bhakti without impediments. Which verse of Bhagavad Gita this is described? Let's see who tells this answer. One who is freed from all sins in this world performs bhakti without impediments. Which verse? Anyone remembers? Someone gets the chapter right. Seventh chapter is right. Which verse? Yes, yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandamoha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrata. Very good, very good, very nice. Okay, so he who without bewilderment knows that I am unborn since I have no beginning and also I am born, knows that I am the and knows that I am the Lord of all planets, is freed from all sins in this world and performs bhakti without impediments. So, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanmanaiti mameti so Arjuna, as Krishna says. Very similar verse. One who understands that I am born to Devaki, but at the same time, it is not like any other material birth which is impelled by karma, and all that. One who understands that I am born and at the same time I am unborn and I have no beginning. And he who knows that I am the Lord of all the planets, that person becomes freed from all the sins. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tatvatah. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. Like that. Similar verse here. So, but certainly the devas and rishis know about birth of this body belonging to you, the Supreme Brahman, who are unlimited by all time and space. So, someone may say, but don't the devatas and the rishis know about you? They know about your birth, right? You are the Supreme Brahman. Placing his index finger on his chest, the Lord speaks this verse. He says, he who knows that I am without birth and I am beginningless, he is free from sin. So does not everyone know that Brahma is not beginningless, but that you, Paramatma, are called Aja, without birth because of having no beginning? So someone may say that, yes, actually everyone knows, right? You as the Paramatma, you are Ajam. You know, you have no birth. Everyone knows this. You are beginningless. As Paramatma, you have no birth and you are beginningless. But he says, he who knows that I am unborn and also born to Vasudev and I am still without beginning, he is freed of all sins. Okay, as Paramatma, you may accept that I am unborn, but you should also accept that I am born also to Vasudeva and Devaki, but still I am beginningless. Still I am anadi. Even though people celebrate my birth day as Janmashtami, the particular day when I was born, but one who accepts that as Paramatma I am unborn and beginningless, but at the same time, one who accepts that I take birth as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, but I am still beginningless, he is freed of all sins. So here signifies that he is also born, which means one understands that the nature of that birth is not material. It is transcendental. It is not impelled by karma. Such a person becomes freed of all the sins. By using the word mom, me, Krishna indicates his particular birth from Vasudev. This refers back to the Lord's previous statement in chapter 4 that he who knows that my birth and activities are transcendental. You see, he is quoting the same verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. I take birth, but because I am Paramatma, I am eternally without birth. Okay. Both these conditions are absolute truth. This is a demonstration of Krishna's Achintya Shakti. So, in the material world, an object, if it appears at a particular time, then that is the time of its beginning. So it has a beginning. But for Krishna, Krishna takes birth, but he is still beginningless. Krishna takes birth, but still it is, but still he is beginningless. Because that body is transcendental body, it is an eternal body, it is just manifest. It is an eternal body and it is just manifest. So, the Lord has said, Ajopisan Avyayatma Sambhavami. Ajahapi, even though I am unborn, but still Sambhavami, I appear. Why? How is it possible? Avyayatma. His body is imperishable body, which keeps manifesting and unmanifesting. So, Krishna taking birth is not creation of his body, but manifestation of his eternal body. Uddhava also says, Karmani anihasya bhavo abhavasyate durgashrayo ata aribayat palayanam kalatmano yat pramadayutashramah swatmanratehe kidhyati dhir vidamiha. Karmani anihasya. You are without action, but you perform action. Karmani anihasya. Uddhava says. Karmani means action. Aniha, iha means action. Anihasya. You are without action, but you perform action. Right? Bhavaha abhavasyate. You are without birth, but you take birth. And kalatmanaha. You are the form of time. Ata aribhayat palayanam. But still, you are sometimes seem to run away in fear of your enemies. Durgashreha. And you take shelter of a fort. You know, like in the case of Kalayavan and others. Durgashrayo ata aribhayat palayanam. Kalatmanaha. And then he says, Swatman ratehe. The scriptures say that you are Atma Rama. You are completely self-satisfied. But still, yet Pramada Ayuta Ashramaha. But still you accept household life with thousands of wives. If you are self-satisfied, then how can you accept household life with thousands of wives? Khidyati Dihi Vidam Iha. The intelligence of the wise men is bewildered by this. Khidyati Dihi Vidam Iha. Wise men's intelligence is bewildered by this. So, in this context, so Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in commenting on this particular verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that someone who tries to reconcile by telling, oh, actually, this is not so inconceivable. This is very easy to understand. How? Look, Krishna is unborn, the Shastras say, right? So his birth is only an illusion. Okay. His birth is only an illusion. And his activities are an illusion. And his running out of fear of the enemies, he's just acting. He's not really fearful. And then he is actually self-satisfied. And his being, his actually trying, you know, seemingly enjoying with his wives and all, oh, that is just an action. He's actually self-satisfied. Okay. So this kind of reconciliation is actually wrong. So the intelligent person is he who is actually bewildered and unable to reconcile it. One who tries to reconcile it falsely, okay, he is actually fool. He is actually fool. So, but intelligent person, kidyati dhir vidamiha. Vidam means intelligent people. Intelligent people's intelligence is confused. Unable to reconcile these apparent contradictions. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, real intelligent people person is he who is confused. One who says, I am not confused, he is foolish. That is what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions here. Kidyati dhir vidamiha. Because these kind of things cannot be reconciled on a material platform. So they try to reconcile it on a material platform by pulling Krishna to a material. So those who try to reconcile this without accepting the inconceivable nature of Krishna, if they try to make everything conceivable, such people are foolish. So for Krishna, he is taking birth as the son of Vasudev, and at the same time, his body is eternal. He is just manifesting it there. So now that is the understanding. So now you may say, oh, so now you have reconciled, no? So you are not bewildered, you have reconciled, someone may say. So yes, I have reconciled, but I how have I reconciled? I have reconciled by understanding and accepting that Krishna has inconceivable powers by which he can manifest his spiritual body from one planet to the other planet inconceivably. So if I am accepting the inconceivable nature of Krishna, which means still I don't understand it, but just that I am accepting the inconceivable nature of Krishna, that's all, based on faith. But the very fact that it is inconceivable means I am not able to reconcile. Reconciliation is not within within the scope of my intelligence. That's what it means. Okay. So the commentary in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita says, Tat tanna vastavam chet syad vidam buddhi brahmastada na syadeve tyatochintya shaktir lila sukaranam. He says, if a contradiction was not a fact, then those wise sages would not have been bewildered. Thus, the inconceivable energy is the cause of the pastimes of the Lord. Whenever the Lord desires, his inconceivable energy makes its appearance and acts. Okay. So, devotees actually are bewildered but not disturbed. Why? Because devotees celebrate the inconceivability of Krishna. If one is unable to understand Krishna because Krishna is inconceivable, it is a reason for the devotee to celebrate. It nourishes his dasatva. So our goal, the goal of our life is not to know Krishna. The goal of our life is to serve Krishna. We try to understand Krishna to the extent he allows us to understand, we are grateful. But when we are unable to understand, even that inability to not understand Krishna becomes a source of nourishment of our dasya bhava towards Krishna, towards our mood of servitude. Oh, he is my master, is so great that I can't even understand him. So wonderful is my master that I can't even understand him. Nayam vidanti tatvena. Like that, what is that verse? Yasyavatara karmani gayantihi asmadadayah. Nayam vidanti tatvena tasmai bhagavate namaha. Something like that. This is Brahmaji speaking to Narada Muni in the second canto. He says, Yasya avatara karmani gayantihi asmadadayah. So he says that we are very much eager to sing and glorify Krishna's appearance, pastimes, appearance and pastimes. Yasya avatara karmani gayantihi asmadadayah. Nayam vidanti tatvena, even though we do not know him completely. So the purpose of our life, see, not that we don't try to understand Krishna, but the purpose of understanding Krishna is to serve him. Okay? But sometimes even our inability to understand Krishna is not an obstacle to love him and serve him, because our inability to understand Krishna can actually nourish our mood of servitude. My master is so great that I can't even understand. Okay, like that. So that's a very important principle. So, in my childhood, Krishna says, during the Damodar Leela, it is inconceivable that I could be bound by strings of bells, but not by the cords of Mother Yashoda. This is inconceivable. What logic you will give? The same day morning only Mother Yashoda picked up a nice kamarpatti, a belt for Krishna with nice tinkling bells. She tied it and very nicely it fit around the waist of Krishna. After some time, just after an hour or so, when she's trying to tie the same waist with rope, which is hundreds of feet long, because she has tied one rope with another rope with another rope with another rope with another rope. Still, the rope is hundreds of feet only, and his waist is one fist. It's the perimeter of a fist only, that's all. It's not that his waist has become huge, that the rope is not able to come around it. The waist is very small, like that of a child. The ropes are very long, hundreds of feet, but still somehow the rope is not able to cover the waist of Krishna. It is still two fingers too short. Both are real. So this is inconceivability. And this inconceivability is not a problem for the devotees. If Krishna allows some of his qualities to be conceivable to the devotees, it's a reason for the devotees to celebrate. If Krishna does not allow some qualities to be conceivable to the devotees, then also it is a reason to celebrate. Okay? Because ultimately we want to celebrate and glorify Krishna. That is our purpose. So in the same way, my birth and non-birth are also inconceivable. The Lord then speaks of his powers, which are hard to understand. He who knows that even though I am your chariot driver, I am also the great controller of all the planets, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He alone is not bewildered amongst men and is free of all sins which are an obstacle to bhakti. So this is also inconceivable. Is it true that I am the Lord of all the planets? Yes, it is true. Then am I acting as your chariot driver, getting kicked by you here and there? Is that my acting? He says, no, that is also true. How both can be true? Oh, that is inconceivable. That is an intelligent person. That is an intelligent person. Like that. But he who, even though accepting that the Lord is unborn, without beginning, and is the controller of all being, thinks that his being born is just a semblance of birth, he is bewildered and he is not free from all sins. So one who wrongly tries to reconcile. So this kind of wrong reconciliation, this kind of wrong reconciliation by actually bringing Krishna, by taking the inconceivable nature of Krishna away from him, and by telling that, oh, Krishna's action, na, that is just Krishna's action is he's just acting. Krishna being really fearful of Mother Yashoda, he's just acting. He is Ananta Koti Brahmanda Nayak. How is it even possible that he will be afraid of Mother Yashoda? Impossible, someone may say. Oh, no, he's just acting. So in this way, if one tries to reconcile this without even acknowledging the inconceivable nature of Krishna, such a person is actually bewildered and he is not freed of all sins. That is the meaning. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay, there is something in the chat box. Okay. Okay. No questions. If there are no questions, I think we will continue our discussion. Okay, Shiva Kumar.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu Dandavat Prabhu.
Yes,
Prabhu,
please, sir.
the crux that you discussed, Prabhu, our capacity to not understand the Lord's inconceivable energy. I see it from the two perspectives, Prabhu. One, in terms of understanding the Lord's power and capacity and his pastimes. And in another aspect, Prabhu, how the Lord works in our life. So when we are not able to even understand how the Lord works in our life, gets us through the process of bhakti, I see that I see that a little difficult to kind of take it as an inspiration for to deepen the practice, Prabhu. I just wanted to hear from you as to what's your insight.
So if you are unable to see how is Krishna acting in your life, then it is difficult for you to feel inspired. Is that what you
Yes,
said?
Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Well, oftentimes, see, even to see Krishna's hands in our okay, this is a very good point that you have asked, actually. Okay, thank you for asking this question. See, this needs cultivation, actually. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vapurbir vidadan namaste jivetayo muktipade sadayabha. So, what is it that differentiates devotees from non-devotees? It is actually devotees are willing to trust Krishna's words. Okay. So when Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate, tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham, I provide what they lack, I protect what they have, and the devotee's suffering is not due to karma. I personally orchestrate everything for the devotees. So, I may not be able to see Krishna's hands, but it is Krishna's hands because that's what the Shastras are telling. So, as devotees, are we supposed to see through the eyes of the Shastras or should we try to see through our pratyaksha? So, yes, I am seeing, but I am not able to see how it is beneficial. So it is just like when the father stops the child from playing all the time and forces him to study sometimes, the child may not be able to immediately see how it is beneficial. But over a period of time, the child understands that good that my father forced me to study, 10 years down the line he reconciles. But immediately he may not be able to reconcile. Isn't that our nature?
True, true.
We are like children. So that is why Shastra Chakshu is important. So otherwise, if we try to see everything through our Charma Chakshu, through our material eyes, I am not able to see how this is Krishna's hands. Krishna never promises that you will be able to see it immediately. But Krishna says, I am doing it. If you are not able to see, that's okay. The child will not be able to see how my father stopping me from enjoying right now and forcing me to study is beneficial. 10 years down the line, he will realize it. So therefore, our inability to see, it's a problem because we are trying to see through the wrong eyes. We are supposed to see through the eyes of our faith, which are invested in the Bhakti Shastras, the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Through their eyes, we try to see, not through our material eyes. Krishna is adokshaja. He is beyond the perception of material senses. So, how can we hope to see Krishna's hands that way? The only problem is, we try to see Krishna's hands, but actually, what we try to see is Krishna's hands, we think will work according to my intelligence. Okay.
Yes.
My intelligence tells this is beneficial. So if that is not happening in my life, then I'm wondering, how is Krishna acting according to my benefit? Because I have so much trust in my intelligence that this is what is most beneficial. So if it's not happening, then either Krishna is not in control of my life or Krishna does not want my benefit. You may think like that. So where does such a conclusion come? Such a conclusion comes because I have so much trust in my intelligence. Okay. But we are short-sighted and dull-witted. So we cannot actually see what exactly is beneficial for us. So therefore, Tattenukampam susamikshamano bunjana eva atmakritam vipakam hrid vagvapurbir vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhag. What does this verse say? He says, tatte anukampam susamikshamano. So the sadhaka or a siddha. For a siddha, susamikshamano means he is able to clearly see it as a pratyaksha praman for him. Whatever suffering that he is undergoing, he is able to clearly see two things. One is, I am suffering because of my own misdeeds. Okay. But even in punishing me through those misdeeds, Krishna is mercifully doing it so that through that punishment also he can pull me closer to his lotus feet. So one is able to see. So for a Siddha, it is Pratyaksha Praman. He's directly able to see. Because a Siddha is not short-sighted, he is far-sighted. He is able to immediately see Krishna's hands. As sadhakas, we are definitely short-sighted. Okay. So we borrow the eyes of the Shastras and with trust we accept that, oh, it must be for my benefit. Okay. And in retrospect, oftentimes time shows that how that was the most beneficial thing that could have happened in my life. So we have to, this has to be cultivated. Tatte anukampam susamikshamano bunjana eva atmakritam vipakam. If my suffering, so therefore the devotee learns to see both, that my suffering is due to my own misdeeds, but at the same time Krishna utilizes that punishment also in a way that it is beneficial for me. That is why Hrid Vag Vapurbir Vidadan Namaste. That is why the devotee is actually expressing his gratitude through his heart, words, and body again and again. Otherwise, if he was thinking that I am suffering only due to my karma, then what is the reason to express gratitude to Krishna through his mind, body, and words? Hrid Vag Vapurbir Vidadan Namaste. He lives a life of gratitude. Why? Because he has learned to see the hands of Krishna. That yes, in my suffering or in my happiness, Krishna's benevolent hands is there to protect me. Okay. Jivetayo, one who lives his life in this way. Mukti pade sadaya bhag. He becomes the rightful inheritor of the abode of the Lord. So therefore, if we try to see Krishna's hands through our limited intelligence, then it is difficult. then either we will conclude that either Krishna is either not omnipotent, or he is not omniscient, or he is not omnibenevolent. Either he is not all-knowing, because if he was all-knowing, he would exactly know my suffering and he would help me out. Or maybe he is all-knowing, but he is not omnipotent, all-capable. Because so many people are asking for his time, he may not be able to help everyone out. We may come to this conclusion. Or we may say, he may be omniscient, omnipotent, but he need not be omnibenevolent. He may not have a desire to help me out. But even though we are suffering, still Krishna is omnipotent, omniscient, omnibenevolent. How? Because sometimes Krishna helps us in a particular way which may be unpalatable to begin with, but very palatable in future. Actually, in reality, that is the nature of mode of goodness also. Right? Something which is very bitter in the beginning, but very sweet in future. That is the nature of happiness, or what is that? In the mode of goodness, right?
Yes.
That which is very bitter in the beginning, because it is filled with austerities and such things. But later, it is very sweet. That is the nature. But people with a long-sighted vision, they can see it. But sadhakas like us, who may not have that long-sighted vision, we may not have, but we can borrow the long-sighted vision of the Shastras and say, oh, Shastra is telling, which means there is something in it I am not able to see, but this must be true. Because this is what Guru Sadhu and Shastra says, right? So this must be correct. If I am not able to understand it right now, if I am not able to see Krishna's hands right now, I will be able to see it 1 year later, maybe 5 years later, maybe 20 years later, maybe right at the time of death, I may realize that this is the best thing that could have happened in my life. That's how we learn. So this is a cultivation for sadhakas.
Thank you so much, Prabhu, for the detailed answer. Actually, many of the points that you talked about, Prabhu, it matches with my experience, Prabhu, that the same issues that I have gone through before Krishna consciousness, what was the result of those issues versus what the same issues I'm going through now, but it is having a positive impact, Prabhu, entirely. So that difference I'm able to kind of clearly see, Prabhu. It's just that the visibility, lack of visibility into the future is what is carrying me, Prabhu.
Yeah, Krishna never promises that you will be able to clearly see the future. But Krishna says, I can see the future. And that's all what matters, right? If Krishna is taking care,
yes,
okay, the engine driver should be able to see the way ahead. The passengers, if they are not able to see, that's not a problem, right? Because you are not anywhere driving the engine. It's the engine driver who is driving. If the pilot is able to see, that is good enough. If the passenger is unable to see, what is the problem?
Thank you so much. Very beautiful analogy. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay, next question. The story of the cobbler and the Brahmana. Yes, true. So in that story, the Brahmana would not believe in the inconceivable nature of Krishna, but the cobbler had a simple trust in the inconceivable nature of Krishna. Yes, very nice. Okay, is it because we are sinful, we cannot understand and accept, or is it because we do not understand and accept incursions? See, it is not about our incapacity to understand, it is about our lack of faith. Okay. I may not be able to understand. That is okay. But if we say, oh, yeah, it's okay, I cannot understand because Krishna's nature is inconceivable. Okay. Then it is good. But if we do not even accept that Krishna has inconceivable potencies, and if we try to make everything, every aspect of Krishna conceivable through our mundane explanations and understanding, then that is a problem. Okay. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartum avyayam. But Prabhu, here in this verse, some pratyaksha should be seen. So what is that pratyaksha? Yeah. So some pratyaksha is always there. Some pratyaksha is always there. It is not just due to faith. But based on faith, whatever we practice, it must have given some experienceable result in the form of Klesha, Agni, Shubhada, etc., because of which we are having that faith. Otherwise, there is nothing called blind faith. Okay. There must any faith has to be supported by pratyaksha. Shabda Praman, faith in Shabda Praman needs pratyaksha, the support of pratyaksha. Okay. Before and after. Okay. So, faith in Shabda Praman or Bhakti Shastras develops through, Ajnata Sukriti. And that Ajnata Sukriti is like pratyaksha only. And after the faith develops, when we apply that faith and perform devotional service, we will definitely see some pratyaksha in the form of, Paraisha Anubhava and Virakti. Okay. So those are all pratyaksha only, pratyakshavagamam. Right? So that will be there. But can we clearly see this is why Krishna is doing this to me and this is what Krishna will do next? Can we see like that? No. Nahiyasya karhichid rajan puman veda viditsitum yad vijigyasaya yukta muhyanti kavayopihi. Right? So one cannot exactly see what Krishna is trying to do. But one can know that yes, Krishna is taking care of my this thing. That much we can know. Like that. Okay, next question. Okay. Okay. If there are no further discussion points, comments, or questions, then we will move on to the next next verse. So Krishna has till now mentioned that Bhuyeva Mahabaho Shrunume Paramam Vachah Yatteham Priyamanaya Bhakshami Hitakamyaya. Again, hear my supreme teachings which I will speak to you who are qualified with prema, because I desire to give you benefit. I am going to speak that knowledge. Right? Name vidu suraganaha prabhavam na maharshayaha aham adirhi devanam maharshi namcha sarvashaha. Actually, the devatas and the great rishis do not know about my extraordinary birth, because I am the source of the devatas and the great rishis. Therefore, the son, just like the son cannot know about the beginning of the father, similarly, unless the father mercifully reveals it to the son, similarly, because the devatas and the maharshis are all, they come from the Supreme Lord, therefore they cannot know about the birth of the Supreme Lord. Yomamajam anadimcha vettiloka maheshwaram asammoodahas samartyeshu sarva papaihi pramuchyate. He who without bewilderment, because he accepts the inconceivable nature of my energies, without bewilderment accepts my birth and no birth equally, knowing that I am the Lord of all the planets despite being your chariot driver. He is freed of all sins and he performs bhakti without impediment. Okay, so this is where we ended. Let's continue now. Krishna continues. He says, Buddhir Jnanam Sammohaha Kshama Satyam Damashamaha सुखम दुःखम भवो भावो भयम चाभयमेव च अहिंता अहिंसा समता तुष्टिस् तपो दानम यशो यशः भवन्ति भावा भूतानां मत्त एव पृथग्विदाः। बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असम्मोहः, इंटेलिजेंस नॉलेज फ्रीडम फ्रॉम इल्यूजन, क्षमा सत्यम दमः शमः, टॉलरेंस ट्रूथफुलनेस सेंस कंट्रोल एंड माइंड कंट्रोल, सुखम दुःखम भवो अभावो प्लेशर पेन बर्थ डेथ, भयम च अभयमेव च फियर एंड फियरलेसनेस, अहिंसा समता तुष्टिः नॉन वायलेंस इक्वानिमिटी सैटिस्फैक्शन, तपो दानम यशो अयशः ऑस्टेरिटी चैरिटी फेम इनफेमी, भूतानां पृथक्विदा भावा। इन दिस वे ऑल दीज वेरियस स्टेट्स ऑफ द लिविंग बीइंग्स मत्त एव भवन्ति, दे ऑल अराइज फ्रॉम मी। सो एवरीथिंग विच, बिकॉज व्हाट वाज द प्रीवियस वर्स, नमे विदुसुरगण, नहीं नहीं योमा मजम अनादिम च वेत्ति लोकमहेश्वरम असम्मूढः सर्वमत्येषु सर्वपापैः प्रमुच्यते। ओके, सो अदरवाइज एवरी थिंग दैट लिविंग एंटिटी हैज इन दिस मेटीरियल वर्ल्ड एज एन इंस्ट्रूमेंट टू नो मी, इट इज ऑल प्रोवाइडेड बाय मी, दैट्स व्हाट कृष्णा इज इंडिकेटिंग। इंटेलिजेंस नॉलेज फ्रीडम फ्रॉम इल्यूजन, tolerance, truthfulness, sense control, mind control, pleasure, pain, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, everything, all these states of the living beings arise only from me. So here he says, even those who are knowledgeable of scriptures cannot know about me by their intelligence. So basically, na medayana bahuna shrutena, it is not by studying books, it is not by intelligence, it is by mercy. Okay, because intelligence and other elements are generated from the material gunas like sattva, and though they all originate in me, in themselves they are not suitable for understanding about me who am beyond the gunas. The list of items in these three verses is given to show this. All these three things are product of modes. So you cannot know me through material intelligence. Okay. If that material intelligence is purified by the process of bhakti, then to the extent it is purified, one can know Krishna. Intelligence, buddhi, is capable of discerning the fine meaning of things. Knowledge, jnana, refers to the ability to distinguish between atma and non-atma. Even knowledge of atma distinct from the body is only sattva guna. Non-bewilderment means to be devoid of perplexity. Okay, this is born out of material sattva. These three qualities, even though they are regarded as causing knowledge to me, are not really the causes of that knowledge. They may be cause of material knowledge, but they cannot be the cause of knowledge about Krishna because they are still material. The other states seen in people which are mentioned here also do not arise on their own. They come from me. So, tribir gunamayair bhavair evisarvam idam jagat mohitam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. And this tribir gunamayair bhave is daiviyesha gunamayi mama maya, that is my maya. So in that way, all these states belong to Krishna because they belong to the gunas, which belongs to maya, which belongs to Krishna. So ultimate, in that ultimate sense, everything comes from Krishna. Tolerance, to speak the truth, control of the external senses and control of the internal senses are all sattvic. Kshama, satyam, dama, shama. They are all sattvaguni. Happiness is sattvic and sorrow is tamasic. Birth and death, types of sorrow, fear are tamasic. Fearlessness arising from knowledge is sattvic. But if it arises from rajas or tamas, it is rajasic or tamasic. Okay. So fearlessness can arise out of rajas or tamas also. If it is properly coming from proper knowledge, it is sattvic. Sometimes tamasic person also, he may be walking in front of a rushing truck because he is drunk, he is not able to see. So that fearlessness, apparent fearlessness, is due to ignorance. So fearlessness in it itself is not necessarily sattvic. Non-violence and seeing others as oneself, samatha, they are also sattvic. Satisfaction, if unconditional, is sattvic, and if conditional, it is rajasic. Austerity and charity, if unconditional, are sattvic, and if conditional, they can be rajasic. Okay, austerity in the mode of passion, or sometimes ignorance also. Fame and infamy are similarly either sattvic or rajasic. All these arise from my energy. Because of the non-difference of the energy and the source of energy, it is said that they arise from me. So all these qualities arise from the gunas which belong to Maya, which is an energy of Krishna. So in that way, everything arises from me. Buddhir jnana masammohaha kshama satyam tamashama sukam dukkam bhavo abhavo bhayam cha abhayameva cha ahimsa samata tushtihi tapo danam yasho ayashah bhavanti bhava bhutanam matta eva pritak vidaha. Because all these potential instruments of knowledge, they cannot know me for two reasons. One reason is that they arise from me. And second thing is, they are within the three modes, but I am beyond the three modes. So therefore, using those instruments which are within the three modes, you cannot know me who am beyond the three modes. Like that. Any other quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as and before we move forward? Okay, can you describe how Krishna expands into 16,100 forms in Dwaraka? Yeah, as you rightly said, inconceivable potency of Krishna. So Krishna can expand. They are called as his prakasha forms. They look exactly the same. And he expands. Now, how can we explain? Explain means what? That is the nature of prakash. You know, they have the same potency. They look exactly the same. For Krishna, it is possible. Now, if you say explain means how is it possible? That we cannot explain because that is due to his inconceivable energy. Any other question? Anything? Comments? Discussion point? Okay. Let us move forward then. Let me see what is the time. Okay. We still have about 15 minutes time. Okay. Let's continue. Maybe one more verse. At least we can come. So then he says, महर्षयः सप्त पूर्वे चत्वारो मनवस्तता मद्भावा मनसा जाता येषां लोक इमा प्रजाः. He says, महर्षयः सप्त, the seven great sages, पूर्वे and before them, चत्वारः, the four kumaras, मनवस्तता and the 14 manus, येषां लोक इमा प्रजा, whose descendants are the people of this world, मद्भावा मनसा जाता, they all arose from me, from my mind. So, the seven great sages and before them, the four Kumaras and the 14 Manus whose descendants are the people of this world, they all arose from me, from my mind, Krishna says. Right. So, he says, which means anything that arises from me cannot understand me if my mercy is not there. So, not having mentioned that intelligence, knowledge and non-bewilderment cannot give real knowledge of the Lord, the Lord in this verse states that these things cannot give true knowledge of the Lord. The seven great sages beginning with Marichi and the four Kumaras such as Sanaka and the 14 Manus beginning with Swayambhu Manu, they take birth from me in the form of Hiranyagarbha or Brahma. Okay. So, they arose from my mind. My mind means, Brahmaji's mind. But because Brahma is his Amsha, he is his Gunavatara, therefore it is not wrong for Krishna to say that they arose from me. It is perfectly fine. Because the Amshi can say whatever the Amsha does, he says, I did. Because it is his Amsha only. The Brahmanas and others exist as the offspring, sons and grandsons or students and students of students of the seven sages, the four Kumaras and the Manus. So because all of these persons with great intelligence and wisdom arise from the Lord, they also cannot understand about the Lord. Just the same point, just as the son cannot understand how the father appeared. Because everyone appears from the Supreme Lord, including Brahmaji. They are incapable of understanding about Krishna's birth unless Krishna's mercy is there. Okay. So then he says, Etam vibhutim yogam cha mama yoveti tatvataha so vikalpena yogena yujyate natra samshayaha yaha veti. He who knows Etam mama vibhutim, my vibhutis, which will be recited in this chapter later, he is telling. Yogam cha, and the process of bhakti yoga. He who knows my vibhutis, which I will relate later, and know about the process of bhakti yoga, which I have already mentioned in the previous chapter and also in few verses here. Tatvataha, and who accepts this as the highest truth. Saha, that person, avikalpena yogena yujyate. He becomes fixed in unflinching bhakti with knowledge about me. Na atra samshayaha. Of this, there is no doubt. Okay. So, what is the purpose of hearing these about these vibhutis and also hearing about the process of bhakti yoga? Etam vibhutim yogam cha. Mamayo veti tatvataha. One who understands this in truth and accepts this in truth, saha avikalpena yogena yujyate. He will engage in unflinching bhakti with knowledge about me. Na atra samshayaha. So which means, the purpose of knowing this vibhutis is to inspire one to perform unflinching devotional service. Okay. Because when we understand the Supreme Lord's powers, it definitely inspires us to serve him. Okay. So he says, but Krishna may say, but according to my own statement, I can be attained only by pure bhakti. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahyaha. Right? Only my ananya bhakta, receiving firm faith in my words by my mercy, knows the truth about me. That is stated in this verse. He who knows the vibhutis of which I will speak in summary and who knows bhakti yoga, etam vibhutim yogam cha, who then becomes endowed with even stronger faith, thinking this alone is the highest truth, tatvataha. Because my master Krishna has said so, becomes endowed with unwavering bhakti yoga, which is characterized by knowledge of my true nature. Na atra samshayaha, there is no doubt about this. So, he who, after knowing the vibhutis, about which I will speak now, and who knows bhakti yoga, then he becomes endowed with even greater faith. What is that nature of that faith? Oh, this alone is the highest truth. Why? My master Krishna is telling. Therefore, this has to be truth, highest truth. So that person, when this faith becomes strong, then this stronger faith leads to unwavering practice of bhakti. Saha avikalpena yogena yujyate. Na atra samshayaha. There is no doubt about this. Okay. Like that. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Ask. And there is one question in the chat box. So, the devotees are also under the three gunas. How then can they transcend? Okay. So, the three gunas, okay, the three gunas can affect the faith or they can affect the swabhava. Okay. So, if the three gunas affect the pure, so if the faith is unaffected by the three gunas, then they are convinced to perform pure devotional service. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilana bhaktiruttama. So, if the faith is clean, then they perform pure devotional service. But if the three gunas affect the faith, then it leads to sattvaguni bhakti, rajoguni bhakti, tamoguni bhakti, etc. Okay. So this is if the gunas affect the faith. But sadhakas, their faith is pure, is beyond three gunas. But their swabhava, their conditioned nature is affected by the three gunas, mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. Okay. That may be affected by the three gunas, mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. So, that will lead to, and this can be purified, this can be purified by practice of Vishuddha Bhakti. Mamchayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Okay. So, that is possible by practice of pure devotional service, automatically one transcends the three gunas. Like that. Anything else before we move forward? What is the time? The time is 54. Another 6 minutes left. Yes, Mother Gail.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yeah,
yes.
You know, your discussion just now just reminded me of this term mixed devotional service that is always a little bit confusing for me because, as you said, even devotees who have pure faith, right, they their swabhava is affected by the modes, in the modes. So, because of that, sometimes we say that devotees are performing mixed devotional service, you know? But, you know, sometimes we use that same term.
Can you give me an example of under what circumstances either you have yourself called someone as told that someone is performing mixed devotional service, or you have observed someone else telling that, oh, he is performing mixed devotional service? Under what circumstances? Can you give some examples?
Yeah, sometimes the term is used to refer to service where they're performing devotional service, at least externally, right?
Okay.
That, let's say deity worship, for example,
okay.
Right? But
yes.
But their motivation is to maybe get what you call appreciation or recognition from the congregation.
Yeah,
you know,
so such a wonderful dressing of the deities like that.
Yeah, you want that praise, you know, or
correct.
You just want the prestige, the prestige within the devotional community, oh, I'm,
Correct.
look at me, I'm on the altar, you know, doing
Yes.
this big service, you know.
Correct. Correct.
So
Correct.
we sometimes we call that mixed devotional service, but
Well,
sometimes
it could be.
that same term is used when we say, for example, when the faith is not pure, right? But they're performing devotional service, but they're doing it for material gain, you know? So it seems
Yeah.
like that term is used in both instances.
Well, I don't know. See, if someone is only doing it for
Material
appreciation,
benefit.
we better know it very clearly that they are only doing it for appreciation only. That we may know, we may not know. Right? So, but yeah. They do want appreciation, that is very clear. But are we sure that they are doing it only for appreciation? There is
No.
absolutely not an iota of desire to please Krishna. And that need for appreciation, is it in the form of anartha or is it in the form of a goal? And do they identify? So those things and all we do not know. So probably, you know, so is it appropriate to call it mixed devotional service? In the
Yeah,
technical sense, you cannot.
in the case where it's an anartha, not a goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a misnomer to call it mixed devotional service?
Yeah, it is a misnomer. Actually, the
Okay.
right terminology is anishtita bhajana kriya, unsteady devotional service. That's what it is. So it
Okay.
is pure devotional service which is unsteady because of anarthas. That is the right understanding. It is not mixed devotional service.
Okay, and we say unsteady because sometimes that desire for praise is because sometimes that anartha is present and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
Is it? That's the reason why we say unsteady.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And really, the only time that mixed devotional service is appropriate is when the praise or whatever that selfish motive is the goal and not just an anartha.
Yeah. And the person
Okay.
does not feel embarrassed by it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because it's their goal. Yeah.
Yeah. So when confronted, he says, okay, what's wrong? So if he feels like that,
Then it's mixed.
Well, yeah, then it may be mixed devotional service.
Right. Okay, very, very, very great clarification, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay, I think we should pause here. It's already time. Thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next Friday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.